Hello, this is Francis Lombard, and welcome back to Portrait of an Editor. In this episode of Cropped, Will Dennis and I talk about delivering bad news to creators, including canceling books, firings, and also passing on pitches. Reminder, there is a Portrait of an Editor Patreon page where you can find older interviews. I just moved a bunch of my interviews to Patreon and added a few outtakes, so check it out for just $1 a month. We also have a sponsor, Magic Mind, which is a great productivity drink. So let's just jump right into this episode of Cropped. Enjoy. Hey, Will. Welcome back to a new episode of Cropped. It's been a couple weeks. God, time flies, really, I have to say, because we originally planned on trying to do these really back-to-back, but mm-hmm. 2 weeks went by. So here we are. We're going to sort of, for anybody listening, going to pick up a little bit on sort of the line that we had going in the last episode of Cropped regarding, wow, I can't even remember what the last
it was like missed deadlines. Delays on books.
So we're going to sort of expand upon the missed deadlines and doing all the sort of the bad things that you have to do as an editor, the delivering of bad news or sort of being the boss aspect of, or mm-hmm. ball buster at times about, you know, basically how to deliver bad news to the people that you're working with. Because, mm-hmm. That is something an editor has to do, really. You know, everything from, you know, I guess we're going to include, you know, like firing somebody, canceling a book, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. telling them they're not going to get paid. I don't know. I mean, you mm-hmm. edited comics a lot more than I do, but you also have what it was like at DC Vertigo when mm-hmm. you have an entire group of other people backing you up. So your job was a lot more sort of, had more guardrails or more, you know, you could always say, well, accounting needs to talk to you or whatever, you know, but now right. as a freelance writer, it's a little different too, because you are sort of hired hand. You're not really right. a boss, but you still have to deal with the mechanics of getting a book published. I think if I, mm-hmm. you know, from what little I know about editing. So, how do you gird your loins to deliver bad news to people?
I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore. Along with ball buster, I'm sure both those things would get you a trip to the HR department.
Oh, no. Thank God there isn't one.
But
whoever says.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks, right? It's like the worst part of any job, you know, kind of thing. I mean, I think it's, I don't want to say it's worse than being the person getting fired, but, you know, it's not fun for anybody, obviously. Sorry, let me turn my heater down here. It's starting to make funny noises. Everyone's always like, what is that noise? Is there a ghost? I'm like, yes. There's an ancient ghost in this old house.
Haunting you.
But I know, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's trickier nowadays because, as you say, I'm not really the boss. I'm like the, you know, hired project manager, really. It's an odd power structure compared to where I was before, you know. So when I was at Vertigo, like if a series got canceled, I mean, to Karen Berger's credit, I don't think there was ever a series I worked on where they just said, like, pull the plug, right? Like when you and I were kids, like you'd be buying issues of comics on the rack, and then the next month it just wasn't there.
It was gone.
It's like, what just happened? You know, yeah. Like, where did the Eternals go? I don't understand, you know.
So you're not that old.
You never knew what happened. You never knew where it went. You know, it just sort of disappeared, you know. But when I was at Vertigo, I mean, we definitely had series canceled, but almost to every single one that I can think of, Karen was like very about like winding it down, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. if you were in the middle of an arc or something, like they would generally get you to finish the arc, you know, because at the very least, if there were a collection or whatever, yeah. like that's, you know, that's what you were always kind of working towards. So, you know, you hope you have that kind of latitude to see it. I mean, I had creators tell me, like, well, let's just cancel it, you know, like, forget it. Like, let's just cancel it, like, right now, you know, like, I think when we sort of wound down Loveless, like the Azarello Western, mm-hmm. maybe sooner than we had wanted to. And yeah, I remember Brian just being like, forget it, let's just cancel. Like, he was pissed, kind of. And, you know, you know, but we were like, no, we got to just run out the string here. Like, let's finish the arc. And, you know, at least you'll have a trade collection. And if there's an ultimate collection at some point, you know, you have the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, it's never easy. I mean, I can count on one hand, though, the people I've actually had to fire in my career, and that's 25 years. Because if you're really communicating with people and really in touch with them regularly, you really shouldn't have to fire them, right? I mean, you really should get to the point where, you know, if there's a problem, a real problem, or they have to step off a book, like, that's one thing, a personal problem, illness, that kind of stuff. But in terms of actually firing someone, it almost never gets to that point, because you have to be in there addressing whatever the issue is much sooner, you know? So, you know, because I think most people get fired because they just, like, ghost you, or they just kind of vanish, or they just don't deliver, or, you know, that sort of thing. But that doesn't really happen to me because, you know, as I think I've said on this thing before, like, if the only time you're reaching out to these creators is when they owe you work, well, then eventually they just start to tune you out, right? Because it's just, like I think I've said, like, the, you know, the parents on a Peanuts commercial or Peanuts cartoon, you know, it's just that wah, 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 you know, kind of thing, you know, like, they just don't listen to you. You know, in the same way, like, when you were a teenager and your parents are always on your case, like, after a while, you're just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever, you know, sort of thing. So, but it almost never gets to that point. So,
yeah, basically,
there's, you know, you don't get to the point where you're like, I'm going to fire you, you know, as a threat or whatever. And I also, you know, really being, you know, being honest about it, like, I've never really found that those kind of hard-nosed tactics work, you know, with people. Like, if a writer is really struggling and they're not getting you the stuff and they're late, and then, the shit rolls downhill, right? So then the art is late, the colors are late, the letters are late, the book is late, because it all starts with a script. But, like, me getting on the horn to somebody and reading them the riot act, or threatening to quit, you know, fire them or replace them or whatever, like, that's not a great, traditionally great motivator for, you know, creativity, right? I mean, because 99% of the time, the person isn't doing the work because they're playing video games or something. They're not doing it because they've, you know, they're having personal issues, they've hit some snag, they've hit some wall, they're out of ideas, they're out of, you know, inspiration, you know, whatever it is, you know, at least in my experience, it's not generally like, well, I just decided to take a vacation from writing my comic books, you know? So me getting on the horn to them and, like, screaming and yelling at them or threatening to fire them, like, that, you know, I don't see how, like, a creative person who's always very sensitive to begin with doesn't, in my experience, doesn't react very well to that as a tactic, you know?
Well, basically, you said that if you are doing that, you haven't done your job as an editor, where, you know, if the only reason why you're calling, the only time you call somebody and talk to them is to yell at them and say that they're late and threaten them, mm-hmm. you're not doing your job as an editor. So basically, right. When you're delivering bad news, if you're a good editor, you've established a rapport where you're already trying to fix the problem. Right. Or you're aware of the problem, you've already had conversations leading up to it, or if you're, you know, I've luckily been saying this a couple times in, you know, the new season, it's all about people skills. So as an editor, you're already getting that sense. As a human being, our brain and our whole body is wired to read cues that others give to us, you know, verbally, visually, audio. So you're already have a sense of where you stand. And I guess that's it. So delivering bad news might be a little bit easier because you've already been, everybody's been working toward, I mean, not working towards, but the situation's getting to that point. But you've already tried to address it already. So it's not combative. I guess that's the thing. This is not a combative thing, I guess, is one way to approach it. It's more like a solution problem.
I'm sure with some people it is. With some editors it is. I'm sure with a lot of companies, Marvel, DC, whatever. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't, like, a lot of the people who work there, I mean, I guess I should qualify what I've said. I think good editors don't do that. but I also think I can count good editors on one hand, you know? So I don't even blame the people who are doing these jobs. We've talked about this before. The training doesn't really exist the way it Yep. existed when I was there, when I started. There isn't really top-down philosophical discussions about this is our approach, this is our style, this is our house style for editing, this is how we're going to treat people, you know, this is the kind of way, you know, they're just like, they're drowning as it is. There's too few of them. There's too many titles. There's only so many hours in a day. They're just trafficking, right? Like, so at that point, like, you replacing one of the traffic cops or having to replace one of the line workers, like, what's the difference? Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're a factory boss and the guy who's, like, you know, packaging the bars of soap at the end gets sick and dies. Like, okay, well, let's get a new guy to package the bars of soap. You know, like, that's, I mean, that might be oversimplifying it and maybe a little harsh, but, like, that's my takeaway from the experiences that I know of, that the creators I know that also do work for these bigger companies. And even when I was there, I mean, like, the difference between Vertigo and DCU, like, the way they editorially were run was like night and day, you know? And the people who really, the good editors out of that DCU environment that you would look back on and say those guys were good editors, and like the people that we all admire, the Archie Goodwins, Bob Schrecks, those types of people, mm-hmm. Mark Chiarello, like, they were working despite the best efforts of the system, right? I mean, they were working sort of outside the lines, you know, like a Mike Gold, those kind of guys who are like really like about the creators and about the stuff, like, you know, to their own detriment. And you know what I mean? Like, in terms of probably because they didn't just like drop the hammer on people and they didn't just fire people out of the blue and that kind of stuff. Like, you should never fire someone out of the blue, except I think that happens all the time, you know, because you know what I mean? Like, because they should know that things aren't going well. You should already have a plan in place to either help them or find them a new person or be in touch with them. Like, even the times I've had to fire somebody, it's never been like, you know, oh, you blew this deadline, like, you fired, like, screw you, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And as I think I said even last time, I've had a few cases where I've had to fire people or let people go or replace people on stuff, and they've come back to me years later and said, mm-hmm. you know what, like, you were right to, like, what were you supposed to do? Like, I was a mess, like, it was a mess, like, we needed, you know, like, I understand, like, what happened there, you know? Yeah, I think if you're really running your ships the way you should be running them, then none of that stuff. Even things like, you know, there isn't a lot of bad news delivered, because even things like, you know, nowadays, particularly, like, you wouldn't get just like bad sales numbers on something and then cancel the book, right? You know, like if I work for creators at Image, for instance, like the co-creators, like, say on, you know, a Scott Snyder book. Like, he's getting all the numbers. He's getting all the royalty stuff. He's getting, seeing the sales trade, the trade sales, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they're not sending that to me. They're sending it to Scott because he's sort of the person of record, you know, on the book. He's the one that Image has the contract with. So there aren't a lot of surprises if a book doesn't sell such and such copy. Like, you know, it's not like some information I get that info and then I have to call Scott and say, oh, no, like, the sales of this fell off the table, so we might have to cancel it. Like, he's coming to me and saying, you know, hey, things have, you know, whatever, slowed down. And this is an example. We haven't canceled the Scott Snyder book, but you know what I'm saying.
Scoop, like, time.
Yeah, breaking news. But yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, given the structure of things, particularly since I've been a freelancer, I'm not the one even having those conversations per se. You know, like, I may be included in them, or I may, you know, just for the sake of it, or they're letting me know that, but, you know, they're getting all that information before I am, so.
One thing, not to derail this, but one thing, like, you mentioned Bob Schreck, Mark Chiarello, and Archie Goodwin, and I actually met Archie once, but mm-hmm. with Bob and Mark, my encounters with them, they always seem, this goes back to the rapport thing, and the whole, there's only a certain number of hours in every day, but they always seem to have the time. And this is, I'm not even working with them in my conversations and talking with them, but I would think that that would carry over to creators even more, that they mm-hmm. always have seemed to be able to make the time for you. If, mm-hmm. especially, let's say the creator's going through any kind of, you know, a rough patch, that they would be available. And that sort of, once again, goes back to the whole thing that it's not a lot of drama if you have to deliver bad news, because as those guys were already part of the conversation leading up to whatever conclusion had, you know, was done. Is that sort of, am I correct in that? Because you've worked with them.
Because you're both in the foxhole together. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not back at the base, like, with my binoculars telling you to, like, go over the wall, right? I'm, like, in the foxhole there with you, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right, because it's the same with me. I mean, people are always like, oh, you're so busy, I bet you can't, you know, if you don't have time to look at this, whatever. You know, like, I'm sure you could find exceptions to the rule of somebody, but I feel like I've always tried to make that kind of time for people, creators especially, because it's just, you know, it has served really well. And I've seen these other people like that. I mean, someone like a Mark Chiarello, it's like, I mean, Mark's an amazing artist, amazing art director, all those things, but he also has these relationships that go way beyond just the work with, like, the Darwin Cooks and the Tim Sales and those kinds of people, you know. But it's, as you said, it's like time is the factor, right? Like, if my relationship with Brian Azzarello is very close, that's a product of hundreds and hundreds of hours of being on the phone and, you know, being hanging out at shows and traveling together, you know, that kind of stuff. So it, you know, and you can't have that kind of closeness or that deeper relationship with everybody, but I would think that, you know, a lot of the people that I work with, you know, I hope feel the same way about it, that, you know, you put in the time kind of on the relationship front, and then it doesn't really often get to, like, a part where you really, I mean, I'd like to avoid all those bad things as much as possible. And I have, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, there's been some books that had to be canceled, things like that, for sales reasons and stuff. But, you know, I've only had a few times when I've had to literally just, like, fire someone, you know, because I just don't ever find that it's particularly good motivator for creative people that you're threatening to get rid of them. So that's where they're going to suddenly, you know, hit their deadline, you know, because I don't know. I mean, so occasionally, you know, that's happened and somebody, you know, and I've made the mistake of someone who's kind of screwed me over on something and then I hire them again later. And then it's like, you know, some of that's sort of like shame on me for thinking that's your ego, right? Thinking that you can change them, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like you've seen them do it to other people. They've maybe done it to you before. But your ego says, like, well, no, they're not going to do it to me again, or I can fix it, or I'm the one they're not going to screw over kind of thing. And then, yeah, and I've had that happen. And those people you keep on a pretty short leash, right? Like, it's sort of like, okay, well, you burned me once. I'm going to let you in again to see. And sometimes it works out fine, but I've had a couple times when it didn't, and it was just the same shit all over again. And then, you know, and in that case, it's sort of like you just pull the cord, like, as quick as you can, because you realize, like, okay, well, that was probably on me for being egotistical enough to think that I could, you know, that it was going to be different this time around. But I do feel like people change, and I have had people change and improve and get better, or they're in a bad part of their life and then later they're not. And so I don't know. I mean, I definitely believe you got to give people second and sometimes third chances, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so just going through, like, the notes that I had sent over, it's basically, you know, when you're replacing someone that's basically something you've been working up towards, that everybody sort of has a sense that maybe this person's moving on, and then communicating that is basically something that, I mean, pretty much, if you're doing your job as an editor, having those conversations with the rest of the team is pretty much something that they all sort of have a sense of, basically, because of the level that you're working at, everybody can sort of see, you know, might already have a gut instinctual mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. The same thing with canceling a book is something, it's a conversation you've been having, and eventually it doesn't come out of the blue, I guess. That's the thing. None of these are surprises for anybody if an editor's doing their job.
It shouldn't, but I'm sure it does. I'm sure if you're drawing, you know, whatever, take your pick, big two, you know, 100 of the X-Men books or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure people get you know, they just cancel those books, and it's like, you know, sorry, like that's, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that. Well, for sure. That used to be kind of the way it went, as I said earlier, but maybe it's things have improved. I don't really know.
Tom Brieport has done a, you know, I know when he was on the Avengers the last couple of years, he's tried to mm-hmm. launch a couple, you know, interesting takes on a couple of Avenger books out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And I guess one, which name I can't remember, it seemed like the team, the writing team, the whole creative team was going to be, you know, easily a good, you know, solid seller. But I guess it tanked. And mm-hmm. instead of canceling the book after the first run of five issues, they rebranded it, changed the storyline, and tried to give it another shot. So mm-hmm. there was an attempt not just to drop it like, I don't know, Man from Atlantis, you know, all of a sudden sure. just disappearing after five issues, you know, stuff like that. There was an attempt, the same team was on it, but they ended up just, you know, probably sitting down, huddling, and basically trying to, like, how can we rebrand this? And, you know, either because of Tom's position or the creator's mm-hmm. position, the publisher was willing to give it another shot, you know, mm-hmm. so... now they have two trades out of it. So
that's good news. I mean, that's good news. Yeah. And things could be way better than they used to be. Maybe they are. I don't mean to like cast dispersions on individuals or whatever. I think it's just kind of the nature of, because I think you look at a place like Marvel, I mean, it is, you know, it's very like they operate very close to the bone, you know, and I don't think that there's a lot of margin for error. And if sales aren't what they are, and, you know, it doesn't seem as if the powers that be there over the years have had a lot of problem with just, like, you know, dropping stuff strictly for, like, the bottom line, you know?
From reading between the lines, I feel that the way this book's, the sales on that Avenger book just surprised everybody. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't really expect the numbers they got. So there was another attempt to do that.
Well, that's good, yeah.
What about, so... what about telling the rest of the team that a main creator is leaving? What about that? Is that sort of fall in the same realm of, you know, you're already building up to it that somebody might be leaving? And it's just, once again, that. I'm just looking through, like, replacing someone, so a creator leaving, canceling a book, late payments, passing on a pitch. I mean, is there anything out of the ordinary other than that you can... any of these that you can't really avoid because of you doing your job as an editor who's already, you know, whose job is mm-hmm. to establish mm-hmm. a rapport and then, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that comics are a marathon, not a sprint. People see this stuff happening, you know, they can see see the slow car accident at times.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever, I can't think of a book where, like, say, one of the co-creators just, you know, wanted off the book kind of thing. I'm trying to think if that's, I mean, we've definitely had people kind of work themselves off of books, even it's weird. I mentioned Loveless earlier, but like Marcelo Frusen was like their, you know, kind of original co-creator of that with Azzarello. And yeah, I don't know. He was just, he got to the point where he was just so slow that we couldn't, you know, he kind of worked himself off of the book. Like, I don't know that they ever formally took him off it, but towards the end of the run, like, it was all different artists doing, you know, I think Zezé did a bunch and some other, you know, maybe Davide Ferno, some other people. I don't, you know, exactly. It was a long time ago, but, yeah. And Marcelo just kind of petered out because he was just going so slow. And then he kind of eventually, you know, then they ended up ending the title and he ended up going to work for like the Europeans so he could just kind of leisurely do like an album book every, you know,
every 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So I haven't really had too many things because, you know, I mean, these guys, they work pretty hard to get these gigs. So, you know, taking them off it is, you know, pretty tricky. Like, not a lot of people want to come off, particularly their own books. Like, that gets really complicated if you're a co-creator and then suddenly you're off the book. But I mean, it's happened. I mean, it happened with Walking Dead, right? I mean, like, the original, you know, artist on Walking Dead was, you know, did a few of it and then kind of just been, then Charlie Adler took over and, you know, it was a whole thing there. But mm-hmm. So it has happened, and it's happened. That's a pretty spectacular example of it happening.
Will, I just wanted to take a pause in our conversation to talk about Magic Mind. So it has been a couple weeks since we last talked about it. I need to reorder some. I think I'm down to three. I had one just before we got on. So I am alive and full of energy, which, because I am not a good morning person. How are you? How are things with you? How's your productivity with everything?
Yeah, it's been great. I actually got an alert just today that my next orders coming in, because I was smart enough to sign up for the subscription service, so I don't even have to think about it. They just sent me a nice email saying it's on the way, like, so look for it in, you know, 3 business days or something. I'm like, all right.
Oh, wow. So
I'll let you know how that goes. But yeah, because my original, you know, package is getting kind of low too.
What has your experience been with it? As you've talked about it in the podcast, that you work a lot of hours and you have to be up and you're dealing with a lot of different time zones. Have you, you know, how is your sort of flow and state of mind and also winding down throughout the day too? I mean, does it feel like you're able to sort of ease back into, you know, whatever you have to do around the home and just get, you know, flow right into going to sleep? Is it, have you noticed a difference?
Like, I've been sort of in the afternoon when I would normally, like, have coffee, you know, or I traditionally would have a coffee. If you have this instead, then it sort of, it kind of fills that role, because it does give you this kind of jolt, you know, like, just with all the stuff that's in it, the flavors or whatever. But then you're not having, like, this big caffeine bump at, like, 4 o'clock or something, you know, which then you inevitably kind of crash from. And I'm old enough that now, when I have caffeine after a certain hour in the day, like, you can forget it. Like, your sleep is just, like, out the window. I mean, my sleep's bad to begin with, but it's out the window. Where it used to be you could drink coffee all day and have it even with dinner or whatever, and it didn't seem to bother you. But, yeah, now. So, yeah, so I've been trying to have this instead, like, around that same time. And, yeah, it's nice, you know. It allows you to get back to the – I try to keep pretty regular hours, even though I will sometimes, you know, fall down on that. But – so, yeah, you know, you get that, like, 3 o'clock sort of lag and then gets you through to the 5:30, 6 o'clock, you know, push, which is – so it's nice. Yeah, it's been a nice change from just pulling out a cup of coffee and feeling like, you know, suddenly, like, you zoom in, but then, you know, then you're crashing.
I've been trying the afternoon stuff at times every so often. Maybe I'll, you know, trying to find, like, what's the right point. And the afternoon does sort of – it feels – better, because then I don't have to worry about coffee or have this, like, just like this thing, you know, this craving or like, oh God, right. Maybe I'll get an energy drink because that's the only thing available at work, which just has never been good. Never been good for me. So,
And it's like, you think even when you want to, like, have a little snack or something, like, if I've been noticing you have that instead. And then it's like, kind of, cause some of that is just, to me, like, kind of ritual, right? Like, you just have, you want that 3:30, 4 o'clock, get up, walk around, have a cookie, have whatever kind of thing. But you don't really necessarily need it. Now you just have this instead. And so you've sort of fulfilled that itch of that little, you know, kind of nosh that you want, like, in the middle of the afternoon. But you haven't then just eaten, you know, like, a row of Oreos or something. And then suddenly you're like, well, why did I eat that? And now I'm, like, 20 pounds heavier and everything else.
So every shot of Magic Mind contains a special mix of 12 active ingredients that's been designed to, like, banish brain fog, which is something that with Will and I and our old brains have to deal with all the time, and enhance our focus, which is something, especially my day job, which I do go to in the afternoon, I really need to be focused on stuff and making sure I am doing my job properly. After, you know, doing maybe 6 hours of creative stuff before going in. So it also reduces the stress and inflammation in the body, which is something I've noticed because, once again, getting old, just sort of the aches and pains that come with, you know, not being young anymore.
Yeah,
it just, that is something I've always, that really had me curious about. And I've noticed that too, just able to, I just feel a little more, I don't know,
But yeah, I mean, I think the inflammation is particularly, we found, you know, you realize, like, the more you read about that, science behind it, whatever, is a huge thing, you know, for people, and particularly people as they get older. Like, it's definitely a thing that, you know, different parts of your body, you know, can really impact you. So
it's really a great way to avoid a lot of extra sugar in your diet and caffeine. Yep. And any negative impacts of those stuff. And you can find Magic Mind energy drink at magicmind.com. That's all one word, magicmind.com/portrait of an editor. We have our own little web address. And with Antix20, that's ANTIX20, you also get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. That's Antix20, ANTIX20, for 56% off. And also, it works if you're already a subscriber. You can save on your next subscription payment. So maybe, Will, you can try that code again. So if you are like me and Will, and not big coffee fans and looking for something to keep you focused so you can get through a very busy day and stay creative, then we both recommend Magic Mind. So, Will, I wanted to talk about, what about passing on pitches? I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other... That's, I mean, a different... That, yeah, I mean, that's a definitely a different thing. And it's, I mean, if I've had a lot of negative experience, not negative experiences, but if there's a part of your job that's, like, the worst part, like, that's probably the worst part. Like, I've avoided most of the pitfalls of, like, having to fire people, having books canceled, et cetera. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly have... There's a long string of probably, I don't know, hundreds of people now that you've disappointed over the years by, you know, not approving one of their projects. If you're trying to hit home runs, right, you got to, like, swing at a lot of pitches. So it's sort of like, you know, you see a lot of pitches, you swing at some of them, you don't swing at others. I mean, that's kind of the thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, you try to, I mean, sometimes it's just obvious, like, it's just not good, or it's just been something you've seen a million times, you know? And sometimes, so yeah, I always try to do something out of it that's somewhat, you know, at least helping them with it, you know? I would never just, like, say, no, I don't like it, next kind of thing, you know? I'm not a big believer in, like, one of the things a lot of editors will do that sucks is, like, you know, if they're trying to tell you they don't like something, it's like a logo or a cover or a thing, like just to say you don't like it isn't enough, right? You have to make some kind of suggestion. You have to make some kind of constructive, you know, fix to it. You can't just throw up your hands and say, oh, I don't like it, you know, give me four more. I'm sure that happens, but I don't, you know, I would... Like, you just can't do that, right? And it's the same with pitches. So, you know, if people pitch you stuff, and, you know, obviously my hit rate is pretty good in terms of, you know, coming up with some good projects over the years with people, but, you know, the actual amount of stuff I've seen versus the amount of stuff that, you know, we've agreed to sort of try to publish is, you know, it's very small, right? I mean, it's, I don't know what... Of all the pitches I've read over the years, I mean, it's got to be in the hundreds, right? And, you know, I mean, how many books, I don't know how many books I've edited in my career, but I don't think it's in the hundreds, you know? So, I mean, the pitches could be in the thousands. I don't really know, you know? I mean, it's like how many you see in a year, doing it 25 years, and you've seen, you know, I guess if you see, you know, it's probably in the hundreds, right? But, I mean, if you definitely in those years of Vertigo, I mean, I was seeing dozens and dozens of pitches a year, you know, because one person might send you five or six, you know. So if you're only just dealing with one creator, they could send you 8 or 10, you know, right off the top of the head, you know, the first time you ask them to send stuff in. You know, if they send you five pitches, like, okay, well, this is the one I really like, or this is the one I think has the most potential, or this is the one I want to focus on, and maybe not necessarily specifically address the other ones. Like, I definitely do that. Like, if somebody sends you a lot of stuff, and, you know, I'm not going to go through every single one. If they send me six of them and give you, like, paragraph reasons for why this isn't going to work or something, you know, or why I don't like it, you know, I try to find the thing that I do like or do think has potential, and then like, okay, well, like, why don't we focus on this one? And then, you know, maybe the other ones are for somebody else or for another day kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you could find somebody that would say like, oh, you're full of shit. You told me no. And that was the last I heard from you. But, I don't know. I try not to operate like that if I can.
It does help as being at the other end of a crater. And I think my ratio was like 15 to 1. Which mm-hmm. wasn't bad, but
right.
that's a lot of free work, you know, to just get that one.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
And yeah. My feeling was if any kind of feedback, just hearing no was like, fuck you then,
right.
you know, basically,
right.
you know, but right. I think it would soften the blow if it was three no's and then this one's interesting. What do you think about doing this and getting some notes on that? At least you're like, okay, it was worthwhile going to the room to hear these three no's because now there's one that still the door's open for it. And
yeah.
as a creator, I'm like that just hearing that kind of feedback gives me some focus. It gives the creator a focus. It gives, you know, now I can work with that. I can work mm-hmm. with the info you provide, even if it's a short paragraph, basically. Mm-hmm. That helps. I mean, that's appreciated, I guess, you know, the answer. And it does soften the bad news of, like, we didn't like anything. You just
right.
spent a lot of time and worked for free to get through the door, which you probably won't be allowed to come back through for a couple more months to pitch. And mm-hmm. then at least now you have something, you know, to go back. And from the creator point of view, from my point of view, it always helped. Did you get coached on how to deliver that? Or was that just a system you sort of picked up as you grew up?
I didn't really get coached because... If I got any kind of coaching, I mean, yeah, I did, you know, Karen and Shelley, Axel, whoever, when I was in my early career, you know, we would definitely have conversations about stuff, right? Or they would show me stuff and then I would kind of give my feedback and then, you know, we would see and I'd see, okay, maybe this one went forward, this one didn't go forward kind of thing. But I think a lot of it's just sort of your personality, right? You know, I mean, it's like, I think, like, I'm pretty direct about stuff, but I also don't want to just be a dick about stuff. I mean, there definitely were editors in my early years that, like, I'd see them in portfolio reviews and stuff, and they were just ruthless. Like, they were just mean, you know? Like, this is crap. This is no good. You need to do this. Why did you show me this? You know, like, literally, like, that kind of stuff, you know? But I, even when doing portfolio reviews, which are really tough, you know, and can be very long and time-consuming and very painful at times, even in those situations, like, I don't think I've ever just looked at somebody's stuff and been like, ugh, no way, you know? I mean, I got some stuff fairly recently from someone, and it really looked like it was kind of done, like, in, like, a high school art class or something, you know? And I can't remember how they got in touch with me, but it was just sort of like... okay, let's, you know, I don't want to be unrealistic, you know, because I don't want to just be, you don't want to be shining somebody on, but you also don't want to be like soul crushing, right? So I don't, you know, they've put a lot of time into this, or maybe they haven't put enough time in, but they have put time in. It's not easy to send your stuff to anybody, to show your stuff to other people, particularly other people who aren't like your friends and family. I mean, it's uh-huh. really terrifying. So I've always looked at it like that it's like, I have to respect that. I have to respect like the guts that it took to even get it to me, you know, enough that like, I'm not just going to put my foot on your neck because I can, you know, like I think that's, you know, it's like with great power comes great responsibility. Sounds corny, but it's true, you know, that you just have to, like, that's not an easy task to do that. And so it's like, for the time it takes me to like try to find something positive to say about it, it's not that big a deal, you know, and it might motivate you to get better or, you know, and I've had situations, I mean, I've had artists, like I've done portfolio reviews and I think I'm being very positive or at least very balanced and honest. And then years later, they're like, you gave me this terrible review and, you know, you didn't like my stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, not that I was mean about it, but like I was, you know, pretty, I guess, not particularly, you know, complimentary about some of the stuff. But then, you know, they've been like, you know, but I've been working my ass off since then, basically to prove you wrong, you know. And I was like, hey, great, you know, like spite's a great motivator. So if that's what gets you through the day and gets your shit to improve, then fine. Like, you want to stick a picture of me up on your drawing board with a, you know, thumbtack in it. That's, you know, God bless you, you know, like, that's fine with me.
Sometimes spite and hearing no, actually, yeah, it has been. I can talk from experience. It does motivate you.
A tremendous motivator. And believe me, my own personal life, everything. It's just like, you know, I think people don't acknowledge it enough as like such a key factor in the success of so many people. It's just, you know.
So sometimes maybe delivering bad news is good news in a way because of, I guess maybe that's the way to look at it, is how can you deliver bad news that might actually motivate people? And, you know, I guess you have to, it's a judgment call from your point of view that might pay off down the road.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't. I don't want to be the person that sits there and says, oh, this is shit. Like, you know, you shouldn't quit your day job, you know, because then, you know, you will meet that person again in 10 years because they're doing a signing at a booth because they're so popular, you know. Like, my taste isn't like the most popular taste. I'm not like a huge hit maker when it comes to stuff, you know. Like, I've done a lot of really good stuff, quality work, won a lot of awards, all that kind of stuff. But I think I've said it many times on here before, it's like, I don't have a lot of huge hits under my belt. So look, me saying that like your art isn't right for a Vertigo type book isn't the same as saying it's not right for Superman. It could be perfectly suited for that, you know, and God bless you if you can make it work.
To wrap this up, how do you handle bad news? Drinking?
You mean like if I get fired?
If you get fired? Yeah, I mean, because in this day and age, we started this conversation that you are not a boss anymore. You're sort of the, you know, you're brought in on a project. Scott gets all the info, you know, when you were talking about Scott. And then, you know, how do you handle bad news that's given to you? Do you just start drinking or go for a walk and come back and start up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would generally say that's, you know, the thing is, like, I think some people probably find my attitude to be a little less than, you know, whelming, you know, maybe you'd say underwhelming, you know, just in terms, like, when I get good news, when people say, oh, you know, look, we sold X amount of stuff, or I sometimes feel like, you know, like, if you meet Chip Mosier, runs Distillery, like, he's a super enthusiastic, energetic, like, oh my God, I just saw this new thing. It's so awesome. Like, check it out. And my response half the time is like, yeah, cool. That's cool. Like, great. You know, like, it's just my personality, right? Like, very sort of kind of flat line, you know, in some respects. Believe me, I try to work on it. I try to, you know, sound like, all right. I mean, some of it's like a New York thing, you know, it's just kind of like you're not getting too worked up about any. It's like when you're in New York and you see celebrities, right? Like, celebrities, you know, I'm not going to jump up and down on the street because, like, Sting walk by me. Like, you play it cool, like, you know, and maybe that's to a fault, right? Because I think sometimes people want the big response. They want the big, oh my God, that's so awesome. I can't believe it. You're awesome. We're awesome. Like, that's just not my personality. Like, I'm never going to be that way, you know? And I think people have to just sort of accept it. But that works too. I mean, in the bad news game, because it's like, okay, you know, like, I got it. Like, let's figure out what plan B is, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, if you don't get too up, like, you don't get too down, you know? So I think that's the thing. Like, I would never go in the tank and just like, oh my God, I can't work because I'm so despondent that, you know, this got canceled. Or, I mean, I, you know, since I've been freelancing, I mean, I haven't been fired in like so many words, but there's been a couple creators that, you know, I worked with and then suddenly I wasn't working with. And so, you know, you can connect the dots there on like what, you know, we had some sort of a, either a disagreement or a falling out or whatever it was kind of thing. But, you know, like, I don't want somebody to be working with me or hiring me if they're not happy with the stuff I'm doing, or we're just not getting along, or they can't afford me anymore. But I'm also not going to like go start cutting my rates and like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of know your value. And I think, you know, I mean, I certainly will work with people on stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, once you start to discount yourself too much, then it's like, well, then they always kind of expect the discount, you know, and then it's really hard to get yourself back to a point where, you know, you're getting your fair value, you know. So I think sometimes it is better to just walk away at that point, you know. But yeah, some of it's just my personality. I don't get too high when the good news is good, but I really don't get too low when it's bad, because I just feel like it sort of comes around, it'll come back around. These things kind of work in cycles, and you know, at the end of the day too, it's like we're working in comics. Like, I know it's my job and it's my career and I've been blessed to have it, but I didn't like lose the patient on the operating table, you know. Like, I wasn't like a kid in a school who failed out of school and you could have reached them or helped them and now their life is a mess, or you're a parole officer who's dealing with the same person, you know, coming in and out of the system or something, you know. Like, none of those things are exist in comics. So it's all, you know, as much as we take it seriously and it's, you know, important to do your job and stuff, but it's like, I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? You know, like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, you know, like, I'm not curing cancer. So, you know, like, you have to have some perspective about it.
And you also have other books that need to get done. So, yeah, you really don't have time to dwell on bad news, because you got other people waiting for you to do your job. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, you know, that vacuum gets filled. So,
yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean,
and by doing your job. Go ahead.
Yeah, and my role, I've always felt, and like, again, maybe this is somewhat, some people might think, they might see it as aloofness or whatever, but it's like, I have to be like the coolest one in the room in terms of like keeping your head, you know what I mean? Like, when things are kind of going sideways and there's stuff everywhere and people are late and there's people asking for stuff and everybody's, like, for me to start freaking out or showing you that I'm freaking out, like, I would never do that, right? I mean, it's just like, it's like a really good restaurant. Like, in the kitchen, like, the shit might be going crazy. But, like, out in the front to the customers, and like, you got to be cool. Like, it has to be kind of under control, you know? Uh-huh. So, I mean, so some of that may come across as, like, I don't care. I mean, I don't think it comes across as that, but, like, as aloofness or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But that's just sort of, like, from my mind, like, that's what you have to, you know, it's like the Captain Kirk sign of, like, when the bridge is going wild and the calls are coming in and the stuff's flying, it's like, you can't start panicking, right? You have to be the one who's, like, got it together, has a plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we fix it. If we can't fix it, here's how we do it better the next time, you know? I mean, that's always been my kind of approach, is to, you know, like, it's my job to be the coolest one in the room so that everybody else can freak out or have their moments or have whatever. Like, I don't get the moments, right? Really? Like, I shouldn't be getting the moments. Like, it's not, you know, in my mind, that's how I've always kind of approached it, you know?
Well, hey, Will, that answers some of my questions.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't seem like as big as a deal of delivering bad news as I thought going into this, but I guess as you know, the overall thing is, if you're doing your job as an editor, dealing with negative stuff really is something that it's not going to be a surprise. It's not going to be a lot of drama attached to it,
right?
You know,
right.
So
it shouldn't be.
And once again, it really comes down to people skills and communication, and then being able to, and problem solving. Wow, that's it. That's all you need to be.
I think that's my mutant superpower.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've said before, there's editors that are better at taking apart scripts. There's editors that are better at looking at art or the color, giving notes, all the marketing, publicity stuff, probably whatever. But like, my, you know, mutant power is that. It's managing the people, the crazy personalities, budgeting, you know, the time, getting the best out of people, you know. So, you know, I just lean into that, you know, and let the other stuff just kind of sort itself out.
So on that note, I think we have a short episode, so I'll let you get back to work, because I know you got a lot of things to do. So I'll be sending out emails to set up our next episode. So thank you for coming on.